Welcome to Pour It Out. I'm Haley.
And I'm Brandy. Thanks for joining us.
Episode five.
Woohoo! We're back.
We're back.
We took a little bit of a break, but
Brandy went across the pond.
yes, across the pond and back again.
How was it?
It was, honestly, I thought it was gonna be a great trip, and it turned out to be just like probably the best trip I've ever taken. It was just so much fun to travel through my son's eyes. And he just did so well and loved every minute of it. And it honestly went way better than I was expecting. So that was good too. But yeah, it was very fun and very fulfilling. So
That's awesome. No, y'all looked like you had a great time. And yeah, he looked like he did really
he
well.
did.
And
He was living his best life.
I mean, it looked
So.
like honestly, he's a better traveled human than I am. And he just turned a year old.
Yeah,
So
he's already got stamps on his passport, and he's but
bougie baby.
he yeah, pushed through like jet lag and sleep deprivation and naps on the go and just all the things that a 1-year-old most of the time like has to have. And he was such a trooper. He also took his first steps when we were in
Oh,
Ireland, and
that's so fitting.
it was so neat. And yeah, we had a great time. The places that we stayed at were beautiful.
Yeah.
And
We'll have to do a little short, like 10 or 15 minute recap on.
yeah, that would be because I went back and I listened to the travel episode, and I was like, now actually going, there's so much more
Yeah, like have a
that
little
I
bit more to
know
add. Yeah.
and can add to that.
Yeah.
And really my hope is to make it not seem as daunting for parents to take their kids on a plane or,
Yeah.
you know.
I will say I had some positive feedback on that. I had a few people tell me that after listening to you talk about all the preparations you made, that they were like, "Oh man, maybe I can actually do this."
It is totally
That was the goal.
doable. Now, it will not be a relaxing vacation.
No. I'm
It
not even sure
will not,
vacation is the right
yeah, I'm
word.
not even sure vacation is the right word. It will not be relaxing,
But it will be
but
memorable.
it will be very memorable, and your heart will be very full.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just one of those things that I
Now,
was like, I can't believe I'm actually living out. So it
what
was
our
very
heart is
neat.
not full about is FSU's tragic loss.
Yes, yeah, tragedy.
Not ready to talk about it. Just,
But it was in a beautiful location.
I did appreciate your Harry Potter reference about the
Oh,
stadium.
yes. So when you're in the stadium, so it's a soccer stadium, and the way that it's built up, it really is beautiful. And we were kind of toward the top of the stadium, and you can look out and you can see the skyline of Dublin.
Very Triwizard
And you
tournament.
just felt very, I was like, wow, it feels very magical.
Yeah,
So,
we're big Harry Potter fans, for those of
yes.
you that don't know that about us.
I sent her a text like halfway through the game, and I was like, I feel like I'm in the Triwizard Tournament.
Okay, so Kristen said the same thing.
Really?
I told
Okay.
her what you said, and I was like, and she was like, "Oh my God, I had the same thought."
Yeah. Okay, good. At
It
least I'm
wasn't
not
just
like
you. It's
the
like,
crazy
basically, I
one.
mean, honestly, a Quidditch match might have been more enjoyable based on the outcome.
It was so fun too, because so at the game, there were these three guys in front of us, and they were all Irish, and it was their first college football game.
Oh, that's fun.
And the one guy was a huge FSU fan.
Really?
But
All the way in
he's,
Ireland. Oh,
yes,
that's so
it
fun.
was so neat because he was like living his best life. Like he was so excited to be
Oh, that's
there.
so fun.
He was like taking all the pictures, all the videos, and I was like, this is so cool to see. I was like, this is really what it's
Yeah.
about. So,
Well, and FSU has always traveled very well. We traveled way better to Ireland than I even expected, but
yeah.
I had other friends that were there text me and say it was like 90 to 10
Oh,
that
they
like
had the
FSU
bars like
dominated.
slam full. It was
Yeah.
crazy.
No,
It was
that's awesome.
very fun, fun atmosphere.
Well, guys, thanks for allowing us to have a few weeks of a break while Brandy traveled and
Yes.
had the best trip. So,
Got
but
back to reality
we're
and
back.
settled in. So, well, Haley, what are we pouring it out with tonight?
We are pouring it out with Aveline wine. Have some rosé. It's for those of you that like just know us personally or have followed us for a little bit. Aveline is Cameron Diaz's wine brand, and it is our absolute favorite. We rave about it.
Yes.
We've raved about it for months. It's something that we're very passionate about because it is we love wine. It's no secret. Yep. But it's but it is very clean. So it has no added sugar. It's organic. It's non-GMO. It doesn't give you the wine hangover feeling because it's very clean. So they have so generously partnered with us because we love them so much. And they have given us a 15% off site-wide code for the rest of the year. So you can go to drinkavaline.com. So it's A-V-A-L-I-N-E. So drinkavaline.com/pour it out. And use our code Pour It Out for 15% off the whole site from That's now until awesome. The end of the year.
And honestly, they make great gifts too. They have like a, what is that package that you can?
The Friends get? Of Avaline yeah. set.
And it kind of gives you like a taste of all of their options or some of their most popular ones. And so with the holidays coming up and stuff, that would be a great thing to send
Such
somebody.
A good point. And it's so easy because you can have it delivered right to your door. Whether it's a gift or for hosting, yourself, you're hosting. Know. Yeah, like a lot of holiday hosting is coming up. So even if you wanted to buy it and put it away for and have just a stockpile of wine, it's really, you know, again, very good quality for everybody. Yes. It's a very good price. I mean, you can even go buy it at Publix. And even when you buy it at Publix, I mean, it's like $15 a bottle. Yeah. So I mean, still like a very good price point. But if you want to stock up and you want a percentage off, use our code.
Who doesn't want to stock up on wine, you know?
Amen.
Well, since we're getting back into the swing of things, we this evening are going to talk about a topic that's a little bit more serious, but also pertinent to where we're at in our lives. We talk a lot about getting into our 30s and what that looks like, what we want out of life and what we foresee for our future. And really our careers play a big role in what our lives look like at this point. Haley has had some recent career changes, and we're going to sit down tonight and talk about what that looks like and how that came to pass. And then also too, if you're somebody that is sitting there and really either just unhappy with your work-life balance or unhappy with your career, or even just ready to make a change. Hopefully this kind of provides you some insight into some opportunities or how to take that step and get up that courage to make a move.
Yeah. Yeah. It can definitely be really scary. I am coming up on October will be a year that I made a pretty drastic career change. To Brandy's point, we're going to talk about what it's like to be in your 30s and take a leap.
And I feel like that transition to, you know, you spend your 20s really just going to college, getting an education, going to school, whatever that looks like, getting training, and then getting started in your career. And by the time you reach your 30s, you kind of have figured yourself out a little bit more. And you've kind of figured out what you want your life to look like. And you start thinking a little bit more long term. And I feel like that leads to sometimes some crossroads and some decisions.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. And I think I have said this for a long time, that I feel like it is such a mistake to ask 18-year-old kids to pick a major and decide what they want to do for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Like, you're a baby
mm-hmm.
that has no life experience. And really, honestly, I feel like you should have to – I almost wish that we did things differently in the States, that like when you got out of high school, you were just forced into the workforce and you had an opportunity to kind of learn different trades and like learn more about life before you
and what
have to make a decision about what career you want to have. Because I think that like it can be a disservice for so many people. And I know very few people at our age that are actually doing whatever they majored in, unless, you know, you went to med school or you're an attorney or like something that took a pretty significant amount of school. But I don't really know many people that are still on their same career path that they chose when they were 18 and a freshman in college.
I mean, I for sure am not. So
yeah, I mean, just saying.
Life just throws you things and you kind of have to learn to roll with it. And also to make some decisions that are going to better your life long term too.
Yes.
And yeah, making those decisions at 18 is a lot of pressure, but also too, you don't always make the decision that will benefit you in the long run.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And I feel like too, when we were in school, I mean, gosh, we've been graduated from college 10 years.
Yeah.
And when we made the decisions of like what we wanted to do with our lives or, you know, whatever that was, COVID hadn't happened. All of these like niche side hustles hadn't happened. Like social media wasn't really much of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like the workforce, even in the last 5 years, has changed so drastically.
For sure.
And there are so many other options and like revenue streams that you can explore that are like just honestly more enjoyable.
Right. Yeah. And give you more time to enjoy your life outside. You're not so necessarily, people aren't so focused on the grind.
Yeah. The workforce anymore. I just feel like is becoming a little more flexible.
Yeah. Let's hop into it. Haley, if you want to talk a little bit about what your previous career looked like and then what were some indications that this just wasn't working, that you wanted to take a different direction? How did that get to that point?
So I was extremely career focused all throughout my 20s. If I'm being really honest, it's probably one of the reasons that I'm still single, because I was extremely career driven for the first 5 years, about 5 to 6 years. I was the regional director for a national nonprofit and for a healthcare nonprofit and managed our entire region. So I traveled a lot. I ran a lot of events. I did probably about 5 people's jobs. So I was just slammed all the time when it was event season. Like, you know, like I would be like, okay, it's event season. Like nobody's going to see me for months.
I won't see you for a few months.
And so I had a really big job at a really young age. Unfortunately, when COVID hit, nobody really gives to nonprofits the way that they do when it's not, you know, dire times and they're having to make a lot of budget cuts. So they did a mass layoff at the nonprofit I was at. Myself and 400 other people got laid off.
Well, and events during COVID weren't happening.
Events during COVID weren't a thing. Discretionary income for budgets like that you would have given to nonprofits or you would have gone to events with. They, you know, other companies were focused on retaining their own employees because the state of the world was such a scary time. And look, I understand it, but it doesn't make it easy for those of us that were in jobs that maybe weren't sustainable through COVID.
Right.
So I got laid off from that job and then I went into pharmaceutical consulting for a private firm, which I loved, worked for some of the best people that I've ever worked for. But I mean, the last client that I presented to before I quit was Pfizer.
Mm-hmm.
So very high stakes between the pharmaceutical consulting firm and the prior job that I had as a regional director. Like I was just extremely burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
And just the stress and anxiety that I had taken on, I got to a place in my life where I didn't really know how to separate that. Right. And so I just found myself constantly stirred up. Like I felt like I couldn't catch a break from the stress, from the anxiety. And it was constantly spilling over into my personal life. And so I really had to sit down and have a really like deep heart to heart with myself about what I wanted my quality of life to look like in my 30s going forward. And I felt like I had worked for a really long time at a young age to build a career that quite honestly was just kicking me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just decided that I had pretty much just become a shell of a human and that I needed to make some changes.
And definitely that, I mean, just as your friend, you could see the stress that, like you were saying, just outpoured into your personal life because your career is so important to you and you take it so seriously. And, but it does, it affects you outside of those office walls, especially when you're in a corporate world that isn't very forgiving and, you know, requires a lot out of you. And, and like you said, the burnout is real. So that can get, after doing that for so many years.
Well, and that's not to say that I don't understand it either. Like I had very big jobs that required like a certain level of perfectionism that were very serious roles. So yeah, like, I mean, when you're in pharmaceutical consulting, like you have to get it right.
Right.
There's just no way around it. Like there, you have to have a level of perfectionism, but it doesn't not weigh on you as a person to have to be that strict about, I mean, the bulk majority of your life.
Right. Well, and then that leaves you with when you're burnt out at work, coming home, then you have no energy for anything else. And that can really be draining because then you don't have a lot fulfilling you outside of your career. So that kind of leads into like, what was the motivation behind the move? And then like, what is your why? What made you, this is the point that I'm going to make a turn. I'm going to pivot.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that plays really well off of the first question, because again, I would say my motivation behind the move was the stress and anxiety. My dad's always told me from the time I could remember that if you love what you do, you will never work a day in your life. Mm-hmm. And I really had to sit down and really take that advice to heart and figure out what that meant for me. And I finally realized that I loved the idea of a big career, but I didn't love the career itself.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I think that that's something that I really had to make a distinction for myself of, is it the idea and the allure of this title and this job for me to be? Because, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, when I told people what I did, it sounds impressive.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, I had a really impressive LinkedIn. I had a lot of followers. But I was a shell of a human.
Yeah.
So at some point, you just have to decide what's best for your mental health.
Yeah.
And do you like the idea or do you really love the career? And if you love the career, that's fine.
Yeah.
I just finally realized that I didn't.
Yeah. And it can create this, you know, especially now with like social media and everyone keeping track of each other and things like LinkedIn. It's like a persona.
Yeah.
That is super impressive. But at the same time, yeah, you have to kind of take a look at yourself and be like, but am I truly happy with where I'm at and what I'm doing?
Right.
And is it what's best for me, or am I doing this for other people?
Yeah. And I think the older you get too, you realize just how fleeting life is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I mean, we're still young, but your own mortality kind of starts to hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of realize, oh man, like look at how fast just our short side of life is gone.
It flies by. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're a mom now, like it feels like Jennings was just a baby
just born
yesterday. Yeah. And he's, you know, over a year old now and he's walking, and it just goes by so quickly.
It starts
to really set in, like, do I really want to spend the next 30 years doing this and being like so stressed out all the time? Like, not really.
Right. Well, and the why is so important because you spend such a large portion of your life in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you spend 30 plus years in the workforce, 8 hours a day. I mean, that is a big portion of the why behind your day, what you build part of your identity around.
Yeah.
And then what you foresee in your future years.
Well, and I'll just be super honest about this. I had so much anxiety and so much stress that I was at a point that I was clinically medicated for how much anxiety I had.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was another really big turning point for me too, was like, okay, is this really worth clinically being on medication?
Your mental health. Yeah.
For however many years, like,
right.
It just, for me personally, it just was not worth it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think more and more people are kind of coming to that realization, in that you need to put your health, your mental health, your stability, emotional stability, ahead of what looks like to be something super impressive or something, you know?
Honestly, too, I was at a phase in my life where I could make that change and it didn't impact anybody else other than myself.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that I really had to weigh out too. Like, if there was ever a point in my life that I was like definitively going to make this decision, now was the time to do it so that I can reestablish myself, so that when and if I like get married and have a family of my own, it's not, I'm past a point where the changes I'm going to make are going to impact an entire family.
Right.
And I also recognize that I'm sitting here saying all of this and that doesn't necessarily resonate with a lot of people, because a lot of people are not as fortunate as I was, where like, if you made a big decision like that, you're supporting a family.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you may be this stressed out and this burnout, and you maybe don't have an option because from a financial perspective, you have a family to support.
Yeah. Well, so you made the decision of like, okay, I need to make something happen. Mm-hmm. So you started making moves. And really, action is the only part of your being that will then create something happening. You didn't just sit in it. You decided, like, I need to make this move. Like, how am I going to best do it? So you switched careers, have been in that position for about a year, year and a half.
Yeah, about a year. A little bit of background. So my dad he just retired a few months ago, but he was a building inspector for our local county for a really long time, both commercial and residential. So I grew up in the construction industry, and all of our best family friends are in the construction industry, whether they are residential contractors, commercial contractors, or own a subcontracting business. So it's just something that I grew up around, and like all of our friends, not only do they own the companies, but most of their kids work for those companies too. Like Brandy can relate. She mm-hmm. works for her family's contracting company. Her husband is in very similar lines of work. Yeah. A lot of my friends are in this line of work too. And so it was just something I knew. And off and on, while I had kind of, especially during the layoff, like I would go help out at friends' offices. And so like I knew enough about the construction industry to really kind of make the decision that was what I wanted to do. And I've always been very driven with design and real estate. Like that really is my true passion. And so I was presented with an opportunity from a friend of ours to join them on the commercial side of construction. So that's an experience that I haven't had before that I was really excited about. So made a very drastic change, but I am the happiest I've been in a long time because my stress level has gone way down. And I work for some friends that are just so wonderful, and it's been really good.
That's awesome. So this is kind of coming from somebody that's looking to make a move, but is kind of trying to think and lay out a plan. What are like some struggles that they can predict in their transition to a new career that can be like exciting, but also a little bit scary? And what kind of practices can they put into place to minimize some of those?
Yeah. Okay. Gosh, those are great questions. I will be very honest and say that when I decided to make the change, like right after I did it, I really, really struggled with purpose. And for those of you that know me personally, I was very honest and upfront with a few people about that I, when I decided to leave healthcare for good, it was finality to me in a way that I don't know that I was necessarily expecting. While I knew that I made the right decision for my mental health and like what my quality of life was going to be like from here on out, I really, really struggled with purpose because it's all I had known for a very long time. And I truly felt like I was making a really big difference in the lives of other people, which is something that's really important to me. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I didn't have that. And that was really hard for me at first. But I would say that you just have to keep reminding yourself that you chose yourself.
Mm.
You chose yourself. You chose your mental health. You chose prioritizing your family and your personal life, and that your quality of life is going to be so much better in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because you were in a position where you were actively helping people every day to where you could like be fulfilled in that respect. And moving to a different career that doesn't always reflect that every day can be difficult to kind of navigate.
Yeah, I think it's just learning how to switch your mindset. And
because you are serving a purpose, it just, the purpose looks different.
Yeah, you are completely serving a purpose, and it's a very needed role. It's just not people-centered, if that makes any sense. So, I mean,
which is what you are accustomed to.
I think some of that too, you know, stems from, gosh, I mean, I majored in healthcare too, and I worked in the hospital for a little bit and did rotation, like clinical rotations. I mean, that's literally all I've known for years is like working with patients. And then working on the preventative side of healthcare when I got out of, you know, seeing patients. And so, yeah, I mean, again, like purpose was really hard for me. But I think that, again, you just have to remind yourself, again, you chose yourself, and you can't put a price on that.
Yeah, And I think kind of tying into that, taking a look at, is this career move a step to a bigger plan or purpose?
Yeah.
Both in your professional life, but also in your personal life too, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, you and I talk about this all the time. If 5-year plans, we're really big planners. You know, maybe you can't see it, the fruits of your labor in the next 6 months, but what's your life going to look like 5 years from now? And like, what are the, mm-hmm. what are the possible doors that are going to open from you making this move? And I think that that's all, like, those are all really important things to weigh out.
Mm-hmm. And something that I've started doing that someone told me years ago that has really helped me both professionally and personally is to put pen to paper and write out a 1-year plan,
yeah.
write out a 5-year plan, write out a 10-year plan. And what's funny is that right now I'm reaching the point to when I first did that, I'm reaching my 5-year plan. Does it look the same? No, absolutely not. But are there things that I can say that I accomplished and then give you clarity to move forward? Yes, absolutely. And so that does kind of provide you with that clarity of, this is purposeful.
Yeah.
This is fulfilling. This is, I am accomplishing. I'm making steps. I haven't just wasted these years, which is sometimes what you can feel like mm-hmm. in the day to day. So that really helps me as well.
Yeah. And I think also realizing that fulfillment can come in many different forms.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're in a career that doesn't necessarily fulfill you, find something that does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And prioritize that.
Yeah. This one is a little bit different, but imagine how, you know, with different career moves comes different routines, different schedules. Everything has pros and cons to it. So this is just kind of thinking when you're making that move, what does an average day in this career look like and how do you best prepare for that change? Because we all have our routines. And when you do make a career move or you're starting a new job, that routine is going to change. So what do you do to prepare for that and anticipate
that? So it's weird because I am a morning person because I go to bed really early. So I am a morning person. I'm up pretty early, but I have never been great about having like a set morning routine. I don't know why that's so hard for me, but I'm not a like, oh, I'm going to get up and leisurely drink my coffee and make myself some breakfast mm-hmm. and then get ready. Like, that's just not me. Like, I would rather just, I get ready very quickly. And so I would much rather just give myself about half an hour, do what I need to do and like get out the door.
Yeah.
No one. That just like, I don't know why that just works the best for me. So I have, when I was working for the private firm, we didn't have to be in until about 9 o'clock. And now construction starts really early.
Yes, it does.
So I had to adapt to being fully functioning, running a team of people by 7:30 in the morning, which is a really early start time. But the beautiful thing is we're also done at 4 o'clock every day.
A good early finish time.
A good early finish time, which honestly I would appreciate. And we even asked this like in our first episode, like, would you rather go in early and get off mm-hmm. early or go in later and get off later? And we both said we would rather go in early and get off early.
Yeah.
And I think the 4 o'clock in time has also in the last year been so vitally beneficial for me. And I never realized what big of a difference that hour made. Like, the difference between getting off at 4 and getting off at 5 is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not sound like that big of a difference. But when you really think about it, that is 5 additional hours a week
yeah.
that you get back to be
and
able.
And that you're not sitting in traffic.
And that you're not sitting in traffic. And that you're also, it frees you up to like, I don't have to make appointments during the workday anymore.
Right.
So that also eliminates you having to take PTO time
right.
or whatever that,
that
may look like. It gives you the flexibility to make appointments, mm-hmm. which is super nice. And it's also given me the ability to have meetings with like for outside ventures after work. And then also too, yeah. with the time change, you're not getting off at dark anymore.
Yeah. You feel so like you still have a life after that.
That I would say has been the biggest thing. I would say for those of you that do really thrive off of a morning routine, if you do have to get up and be out really early, a couple of things that have worked really well for me, I've got a coffee maker that I can set ahead of time to brew first thing in the morning. So like that's really anything that you can do the night before that mitigates what you have to do the next morning, I feel like is super helpful. So coffee is a huge one. Like if you make and pack your lunch, like doing that ahead of time.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, anything that you can do to take something else off your plate the next morning is helpful.
Then it makes those early mornings not so
they run a little bit smoother.
You know, yeah. You're just out the door and ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. And also too, you know, flexible schedules have become such a thing.
Yes.
Post-COVID and things like that. So I would say, you know, if you're looking for a career change, really look at what are the perks of this particular job for your schedule.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether if you have kids, if you have animals, if you have dogs that need to be let out, you know, things like that throughout the day. Like, I would really take a look at what you need from that job in your personal life as well, not just what you're looking for professionally.
Yeah.
Because those things matter, and they can become a headache if they're not considered prior to.
Oh yeah. No, moves. They matter so much. And it also, I mean, gosh, we're in that phase of life right now. Like, we have so many friends with young kids and so many friends with young families
that need to get there for pickup and all that stuff. Yeah.
I think too, it's if you're the owner of a company and you're listening to this, don't underestimate the loyalty of your employees if you allow them to have a flexible schedule.
Right.
Like, being willing and open to allowing your employees to do what they need to do, as long as they're getting their work done, is also super valuable.
Yeah.
And will allow your employees to be a lot more loyal to you. Some of the best bosses that I've ever worked for are bosses that have recognized and not been afraid to say, like, life happens and it's okay.
And I think that they'll work harder for you too.
100%.
You know, because they're appreciative of the time that you are considerate to them too. Like, their time matters. Yeah. Something else too, you know, with career changes comes interviews and sometimes lots of them. So how do you best prepare for an interview or applying for jobs when you're embarking on a career change?
Yeah, this is a really big one for me. I have always been a huge advocate for interview prep. I maybe overdo it, but I can tell you it has never steered me wrong. I spend a lot of time researching the company and the job description and / scope of work, and what they are. Like, Glassdoor is a really good resource. So that like, there are several different resources for the particular job you're applying for. You can get on and research other people that either currently have that exact role or other people that have had that role that can provide a little bit of insight out and tell you what it's really like to have that role. Mm-hmm. Now, look, I'm not going to tell you that sometimes there's not some disgruntled employees, because there definitely are. But you can also, you can pick and weed out, you know, the good versus the bad, like anything. So I would say Glassdoor is a really good resource. I also just spend a lot of time on the company's website.
Getting to know them,
what their goals are, what, you know, if it's a sales job, what their pipeline looks like. If you're in pharma and you're listening to this, you can get on a company's website and look at their pipeline and see what drugs they have coming down the pipeline and research those drugs so that you can be informed in the interviews for what they have coming up, which I think is super important. After I do that, like, after I've researched the company, researched the roles, then I sit down and kind of look over all of the research that I've done. And I just start coming up with questions based on the research that I've done so that I can ask informed questions, because informed questions allow the interview panel to really know that you've spent the time to take a look at their company.
Right. Yeah. That you're invested. Yeah. And then with you being invested, that presents you in a favorable light, because companies want you to feel like you're a part of something.
Yes.
And want you to be, you know, when you're invested in something, you're going to care about it and you're going to work hard at it.
Yeah. And it also shows that if you were willing to put that kind of time into just an interview and learning that much about the company, that you're pretty serious about the role.
Right.
And that you would do a good job for them. So it's a lot of legwork up front, but I promise you it will pay off.
That's good prep work too. Well, so once you've made a career change and that switch, and you're kind of in that role and you're familiarizing yourself with everything, how do you continue to grow after making a transition?
Oh, this is another big one for me. The biggest piece of advice that I would give anybody, but especially young people that are just newly starting out in their career, and like maybe you're at your first big company or something, is do not allow yourself to be stuck in one position permanently.
Mm.
Allow yourself to branch out and again, learn as much about the company as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically about each department and what each department does and how all of it comes together to make the company work as one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will tell you, like, and no, I mean, again, I will say that being said, after you've gotten your feet wet and know your own role, like, right. Absolutely. But I will say that I have taken on like additional roles or promotions at companies that I was at because I spent the time to learn what other departments did.
Right.
And I would sit on team calls with other departments and other clients just to get a feel for how this team functioned. And you know what? It led to some other interest of positions that I would have never thought on paper that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But once I got to know the company and know each department and the different ins and outs of how it all worked, it led me to other roles
that allowed me to
be more successful.
Yeah. Yeah. Those doors opened. And, you know, like set goals within your knowledge framework of your position, but then also outside of your framework too. So then, and that's kind of familiarizing yourself with all the departments and seeing the inner workings of the company. And
I will tell you too, it's also the best way to learn what you don't want to do. Because true. That's really important too, is like knowing, it's very important to recognize your own skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And like there was a company that I worked for that did a lot of analytics. I was fascinated by it, but I can 100% tell you my brain does not function like that.
Mm-hmm.
There are some really great people that do function like that and that thrive on spreadsheets and analytics and data. My brain just doesn't work like that. So like once you learn, oh, well, that's what that department does, I can automatically tell you I would not be a good fit for that role.
Right. You're like, I value you, but this is
great.
Not
your
for
role
me.
Is so needed.
Please don't bring me into it.
Like don't ask me to help you because you will regret it.
Yes. Yes. And also too, I think something that's really important is to be a doer.
Yeah.
Just wherever you're at, whatever. Sometimes a career change, you can start off at the very bottom.
Yep.
Because that's just what that career entails.
You have to work your way up.
But if you are a doer, people will notice that.
Yes.
People, you will become irreplaceable.
Be willing to be a team player.
And you are doing things that make you stand out. And I think that is what drives you up quickly.
Yes.
By being just being there, being on time, being presentable, being alert, being involved and interactive. Mm-hmm. It really just... it can bring the positivity up in a workplace too.
Yes.
And people notice that, and people, I feel like that's the best way to kind of move up that ladder.
The other thing that I would say too, another big piece of advice that I would give is, okay, so one of the companies that I was at was the perks were amazing. Like the best perks of any job I've ever had. The office was stunning. It was a high-rise office. There was cold brew coffee on tap. There was beer on tap. They catered lunch almost every day of the week. I mean, it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that I would say is don't allow yourself to be fooled by the perks either. Because the job was wonderful. The owners of the firm are wonderful. Like truly some of the best people that I have ever worked for. But sometimes you have to be willing to look past all the perks and admit when it's no longer working.
Right.
And that was something that I really struggled with because when everything's so shiny and showy and pretty, like it's very hard sometimes to take those rose-colored glasses off and say, but I'm still not happy.
Right. It draws you in to the point that it's hard to see
outside.
It's
hard to separate it.
Yeah.
So I would say that's also something to be cognizant of, especially with a lot of these like millennial and Gen Z startups that like everything's very trendy and like very relaxed.
Yes.
Don't allow yourself to be fooled by the perks.
Right. Yeah. Especially at the expense of your own personal walk.
Yes.
in your own personal journey and what is best for you.
Right. Like, it may be shiny and pretty, but if you're having to medicate yourself to get yourself there every day, like, still probably not great.
Is it worth it? Yeah. No, I think that, and especially seeing some of these work environments that we see now, that is very prevalent.
Yes.
And so I think that's good advice to remember to kind of zoom out.
Yeah, just take a little bit of a step back.
And look at some different perspectives and make sure that you're making the right decision for yourself. So to kind of close it out, I have one last question for you. Really just, how can the people closest to you, you know, if you're looking to make a change, which can be, like we said, like exciting, but also scary, nerve-wracking, you're a little unsure too of direction maybe.
Yeah.
How can they offer support and encouragement for someone looking to move career paths?
Yeah. Well, I think that you really hit the nail on the head there with that first part of just recognizing that it can be scary and that, you know, just being that person and that support person where they know you can, they can come to you if they need to, mm-hmm. or if they want to. But also, I think it's really important to recognize that they may not want to talk about it. I can say mm-hmm. for me, when I made the decision to like definitively leave healthcare for good and was really struggling with that sense of purpose, I didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that was something I just kind of had to keep to myself for a little bit. So I also think something that's really important is just to be realistic of your expectations for that person for a while. Mm-hmm. So like you may not see or talk to them as often, if at all, for a little bit. And just while they're going through that transition, but just extend grace and know that it's not forever and that they will come out on the other side eventually. And they just need some time and some people to be patient with them.
Mm-hmm. And you are someone's cheerleader in life, you know, and remember that when someone is approaching you about change.
Yeah.
You know, be encouraging, listen, also sometimes be their voice of reason so that they can really have clarity about some pros and cons yeah. and some things that they're, you know, if they need to talk through something, allow them to talk through, if they need to process something. And then sometimes if they need some space because they're trying to sort things out themselves, give them the grace that allows them to have that space and just kind of, you know, allow them to sit in that time of sorting through yeah. what they need to do.
Yeah. And I think for those of you that are, you know, toying around with the idea of changing careers or moving jobs, like it also, to Brady's point, can be really exciting. I can tell you that once I came out on the other side and realized just the amount of opportunity that I have been given, like I have not been in this good of a headspace in a really long time. Like I have not had this much peace in a really long time. And it has also given me the ability to explore a lot of other side ventures that yeah. have been on the back burner for a really long time that quite frankly, like I just did not have the bandwidth to take on.
Like this podcast,
this, I can honestly tell you, yes. had I not made a career change, this podcast would not have taken off because yep. neither one of us, Brandy nor I, had the bandwidth to take it to on, it which happen. Is why we yeah. talked about it for 2 years before we yeah. did it. I've got some other things in the works that are going to launch in 2025. So, you know, it's just really freed me up creatively to be able to explore things that I also wouldn't have had the opportunity or the time to do. And I kind mm-hmm. of just decided that I was finally being blessed with an opportunity that allotted me to do all of that. And that's a really rare thing to find. So I think that's the other piece of advice that I would give. Like if you think mm-hmm. that you've got the time to explore some dreams that you've had, do it.
Yep. Chase your vision. You know, look at, if you have a vision for something, let that come to fruition, yeah. you know.
And it may not work, but yeah. but you'll never know if you don't jump off and try it.
Yeah. yeah. At least give yourself that opportunity. And that's how you live life with little regrets. Yeah. So, because we only got one of them.
Only got one.
But, okay, well, that kind of wraps up this episode. We hope that this gave you guys some clarity. If you're thinking about making a change, maybe just that push to go out into a new venture.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's kind of what we're here for, is hopefully to inspire just let yourself be creative and believe in yourself that you can make any change that you want to. It's never too late.
It's never too late.
Thank you guys for joining us this week.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks.